meant to be. Its purpose is enlightenment. Its product...
West Coast Boys Pod.
Known as the playground of the stars.
Welcome back, Best Coast Boys Podcast, week six. We're going into week six.
Yeah.
The season's really flown by, John. Yeah. I'm Landon McCool. That other voice you're hearing is John Oney. You can find me at Twitter, at McCoolBCB, and on the best... this is the Best Coast Boys, the Locked On Cowboys Podcast. I'm getting my podcast mixed up, John. It happens... quite a bit. And that other voice that you're hearing is Dallas Morning News contributor John Oning. John, say what's up to the people.
How's it going, everybody? You guys know where to follow me on Twitter, at John Oning, J-O-H-N-O-W-N-I-N-G. Make sure you guys read all of my stuff over at the Dallas Morning News, dallasnews.com/sports/cowboys. Make sure you guys are getting all those clip farms ready over there. Clickety, 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 clack. And yeah, the season's been flying by. We got the Jets coming up this week, but before that, we got to go back and talk about this disappointing Green Bay game.
Yeah, guys, so here's the deal. In a perfect world, we would be doing three podcasts this week. We would be doing one on the offense game review, one on the defensive game review, and then one, just a full podcast on the absolute absurd nature of the offensive holding of the Green Bay Packers were participating in.
Hey,
and that podcast probably would be twice as long as the other two podcasts.
And the funny thing is they're a team that gets away with holding because they teach their offensive tackles that kind of hugging technique on the edge. But they took it to an even higher level this last week against the Cowboys. It was... Watching it live doesn't do it justice. When you go back to the all 22, it just gets infuriating play by play.
The one that I was sending you the pictures of, there was one play where Bakhtiari.
Those were blatant hands to the face, which should be even easier.
No, it was both. Like, that's the thing. On that one play where Aaron Rodgers threw, like, I think it was a 23-yard pass to Jimmy Graham.
Not a big deal,
Bakhtiari
right?
stuck his fist in Dorrance Armstrong's helmet. Then, after Dorrance Armstrong grabs his wrist, throws it off him, he then takes that same hand and grabs the back outside part of his upper shoulder pad, which is like, that's only a point that you should be touching if you're holding. Like
a greater emphasis on offensive holding, my ass. At least not with
needless
them.
To oh my god, needless to say, without a doubt, like, we could just start here, guys.
Yeah.
we're just gonna go right into this. The Nabra of the week, it's not even the Nabra of the season, frankly. It's nomination for Nabra of all time was the Green Bay officiating. Like, there was one, I think my favorite one was, I sent you that picture where there was a Cowboys, I think it was Armstrong against Bakhtiari again, where he was basically going around the corner. And the referee is looking right at him as he's got his arm wrapped around him and, like, you know, basically bear hugging him to the ground, not even reaching for the waist, like not even just unbothered by the blatant apparent. I mean, look, I want to get this out of the way quickly, and then I don't really want to get into it again because it is all over my notes. And I mean, so that's the thing is that, almost every single play, I will say this, without a doubt, every single big play in this game had at least one player on that offensive line holding a defensive lineman. If I'm exaggerating, by 5%, maybe. Like, that's it.
The amusing part is that following the game, kind of like those 48 hours after the game where the news cycle's still going, is everybody was talking about how bad the officiating was in that game, and it was way worse than even they realized because they're not even pointing out the myriad of holds, like you just said, the hands and the face penalties, all those little hidden penalties that you can only see on the all-22 because the angles aren't that good from the TV tape. But it was... even more than the ones that were drastically missed that everybody saw on TV. They missed even the ones that you can't see. They missed everything.
That left guard, I'm pretty sure that his only strike area is the ear holes of Malik Collins' helmet. I never, like, dude didn't even try to hit Malik Collins in the chest. He just went straight for his head like three times. They did it to Jalen Smith. There was that one, like, it was like that Aaron Jones one. Mm-hmm. Like when he's running the ball and Aaron Jones stiff arms Jalen Smith in the face mask, and they don't call. I remember they used to call that a penalty on Marion Barber, almost every single time until the end of his career. Yeah, like, so.
Marion Barber. I miss Marion Barber's right hooks as his stiff arms. Those are great.
Those are great. they don't allow Cowboys players to do things like that anymore. So. All right. Well, let's look. Unfortunately, what I was trying to get to was that John and I are both extremely busy, unfortunately, this week. So we are just going to do one abbreviated podcast on both offense and defense. We already did our Nabra. I'm assuming we both agree about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just to check in on injuries real quick, the only things of note really to point out is Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, both not at practice yet on today, Thursday. It feels like Tyron might play and that Lael is the one who's more
iffy
in question. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think after watching the tape last week, we could talk about that. And frankly, you know what, let's talk about that up front. Let's talk about that right now. The only other person is Leighton Van Der Esch is sick. We'll see how that plays out, but let's talk about the tackle play, in light of the idea that, you know, we're not exactly sure how they're going to play next week. We'll start with the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think that you and I, you know, the one thing that you and I have been discussing, and you obviously got to the tape way before I had an opportunity to, I saw you raving immediately about Brandon Knight, which, you know, warmed the cockles of my heart a little bit because, we needed some positivity out of this. And when I got to the tape, I was really thrilled. I mean, I was, you know, the way that he is exploding out of his stance to get into his pass set is just great to see. What I'm seeing is a guy that I knew had the right mentality and attitude to play the position. I had concerns about his athleticism. I think a lot of that got assuaged by his play on Sunday. And I think, you know, just because we're talking offensive line overall, I think Cam Fleming didn't have a bad game at all. I think for, you know, what we're expecting of him, and I think if you're talking about what expectations should be for a swing backup tackle, I thought he didn't play poorly at all. He just certainly didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly didn't play, you know, good,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But for a guy that's coming in and who is not Tyron Smith, he didn't wreck the football game for the Cowboys. You know, I think that he played mostly okay. John, what were your thoughts on the tackles specifically? And then obviously let's talk about, you know, Travis Frederick, who I think had a much better game this week as well. Let's talk about the offensive line and your thoughts there.
Yeah, as far as Brandon Knight goes, I was, like you said, I was really impressed by really his athleticism, his ability to explode out of the stance and beat the Packers edge rushers to the spot. He was beating them to the spot in every single play, and that let him really set up and do a better job absorbing the power of the Packers pass rushers, because you can still see that's a place where he still struggles a bit with his anchor. He still doesn't have that kind of play strength, and he's not playing with the correct proper footwork. Every time he gets a little bit of happy feet, I think you said is the one that told me that.
Yeah,
that was a great comparison in my head, that his feet aren't quiet enough when he's anchoring right now, but it's something that I think that he can clean up years down the line. But it was just, given the circumstances, he only had one practice. He wasn't supposed to play. He's been inactive the whole season, right, up until that point.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was just thrown out there in the middle of a game against one of the better, especially edge-rushing teams in the NFL. I mean, they have three guys who are legit edge-rushers. Kyler Fackrell had double-digit sacks last season. We know how good Preston Smith is from his years with Washington. And Za'Darius Smith has been one of the more underrated pass rushers with Baltimore before coming to the Packers and doing his best Peter Griffin hurt knee impression the entire game against the Cowboys. But I was mightily impressed. He was showing a good ability to use independent hands. He was reacting well inside. He was passing off stunts, and he seemed really aware, which is something that I was really impressed by, being as it was a rookie and that he was just thrown into the action after one practice. And then, like you said, with Cameron Fleming, like It wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly for the most part of it, but it was a good enough performance that you can definitely win with. He definitely wasn't the reason why the Cowboys were having issues. You could tell that Dak Prescott was really mindful of his edge rushers and was doing more to step up in the pocket instead of bailing outside, which I thought was smarter, especially in the second half. You saw that, which I think was a smart adjustment for him. And then one guy who I also that we haven't even mentioned is I thought Lyle Collins played pretty well too. Despite
he got
beat twice by Preston Smith, pretty good. But besides that, he was, especially in the run game, I feel like he was really creating open running lanes and really showing off that power and that road grading ability that the Cowboys are going to miss this week if he's not able to play. And then, like you said, I think it was Travis Frederick's best performance of the season, in my opinion. I think he was sticking to blocks better. He was showing more power on contact. He was latching and sustaining a little bit longer. So, and he was being more aware. He was seeing things. I mean, I sent you that gif of him seeing that fill of him picking up that filling linebacker and doing that kind of spin out of it to put him in position. And that's just the type of thing that you don't do unless you're really feeling it and you're feeling yourself on that game. And so that was a really good sign. As far as Connor Williams, I thought it was the same kind of performance that we've seen. It was kind of up and down. He was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. And Zach Martin, I think he was giving you the Zach Martin performance. He was pretty good for most of it. I didn't see much problems. He was solid. He got blown up, I think, once by was it Montrevious Adams? I think it was. He got blown up once, but besides that, he did really well, you know, doing the exact same Zach Martin things. His ability to climb to the second level, his ability to set a firm pocket, that was really important for Dak Prescott in the second half, for him to be able to step up in the pocket, was getting that firm pocket, and that was a lot of it was due to Zach Martin.
Yeah, I think that, you know, after watching the game, to me, it feels like the spot where the Cowboys are missing the tackles the most is actually in the run game, mm-hmm. more than the pass yep. game. I think that they're obviously able to find ways to work around them in from a pass blocking schematic sense, specifically, you know, when they when they in the second half they seem to have a lot better success there, and that kind of leads me to the wide receivers. I think that for the most part the wide receivers had an incredible day. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I think we're still, you know, the numbers speak for themselves to a certain degree. There still were certain plays that, you know, ended up being big plays where, you know, balls clanging off hands and going into defenders' hands and receivers not finishing where they needed to at the same rate that you hope they would. But, you know, they would intertwine those with so many big plays that it made up for it to a certain degree. I think that really after watching last week's game, I just think the Cowboys need to embrace more passing. You know, I just think that they're finding so much success here. Even more than they expected, because I think Gallup is a much better player than yep. anyone expected. Mm-hmm. And that plus Cooper, that just, it kind of, it changes the equation to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that the wide receivers played exceptional well. And when Cooper and Gallup are on the field together, it's just an incredible difficult matchup for defenses to keep up with. What were your thoughts about the wide receivers?
Yeah, I think if Amari Cooper didn't have that one drop, we'd be talking about how it was probably his best performance as a Cowboy. I mean, it was the second time in 3 weeks that he put an upper echelon cornerback, you know, put his head on a mount and put it in his den. He was unbelievable against Jaire Alexander. His ability to be deceptive with his route running ability, his ability to sell routes at the top of his route, his quickness out of his routes, his explosiveness, his speed, his ability after the catch, all of that was on display. And it was just an unbelievable performance against a guy who, if you listen to the PFFs of the world coming into the week, he was, by a lot of estimations, a top 3 or 4 cornerback this year. He was doing a really good job shutting down the number one receivers on the opposing teams, and he just had nothing for Amari Cooper. He had two good snaps. He actually only had really one good snap, and that was that snap where he kind of stuffed Amari Cooper, where he tried to do that fade to slant on the third down. But besides that, he couldn't even get a hand on Amari Cooper all game long. He was he was just killing him with deceptive footwork, with head nods. He was getting Alexander to bite on double moves, all types of things. It was just an incredible performance. And Gallup on the other side, I'm just amazed by how strong he's become, how good he's become at the catch point, really. Last year was kind of a area where him and Dak struggled connecting, you know, but he's been so much more effective getting open late at the catch point, or being strong at the catch point, especially on those deep throws. It's made him such a dangerous number two. I mean, we were thinking about prior to the season, we're thinking, oh, maybe Gallup can develop into a decent number two. He's actually playing like a number one receiver. It's just that the Cowboys also have Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and I think that that's, you know, changed. That's the kind of thing that I was talking about. It's changed the equation to me to a certain degree. And I think now there's going to be – I think there is a lot to be said about putting pressure on offense, on defenses, on other teams' offenses by, you know, scoring early, especially in light of how the defense has struggled to stop the run. I think, you know, I think there needs to be more of an emphasis on removing the two-dimensional aspects of the other team's offense sooner to have better success. Make them throw the football earlier. And because I think, you know, the Cowboys either going to have to figure out better fits in their run game. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I mean, I think until they do, you're going to need to put better effort into scoring earlier to try to make the other team one dimensional. Otherwise they may continue to have a lot of success running the football. Let's finish up with the offense, and then we'll move on. I think, you know, we didn't talk about the quarterback, but by proxy through the wide receivers, I feel like he had a pretty good day. I don't think that, you know, I think one of the two of the throws on the interceptions were maybe ill-advised. I think, you know, a couple of the ones that deflected off of, you know, the guys. I mean, again, like the Cooper one early, it's like it's hard to blame him for that. Yeah, you know,
the passer interference on the third one.
Oh, I mean, you know,
not to bring up the refs again.
Again, what are you gonna do? Oh, yeah. Like, you know, again, and the reason this keeps getting brought up is it's the judgment calls. All the judgment calls that they made all seem to go one way. And that, when that happens, it's like, that's kind of raises eyebrows. But yeah, I mean, obviously the King brutalizing Gallup and then, you know, picking it off. But I think that, you know, for the most part, when you put in the context of what the Cowboys were dealing with most of the time when Dak was on the field, he took some risks because they were behind, and then he needed to take risks, and they paid off. I think, you know, there was some questionable play at the end of the game that, you know, they put themselves back in a position to make it a football game, but then couldn't quite get there at the end. You know, I think all things considered, like, for how terrible of a game it was, I don't know that Dak played specifically a terrible game. I think he played okay. And I think that, you know, his numbers show that he was throwing the ball all over the field. I think, you know, it's a tale of two halves with that offense for sure. And I think the end result of it was good, but not great, because it didn't happen when they needed it to happen.
Yeah, totally agree. Don't really have much to add there. I think the one thing that I've noticed that Dak is doing is that sometimes he's kind of dissuading the open underneath receivers to try to take a shot deep. And I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. It's something that we like them being more aggressive and attacking deep, but it's 2 weeks in a row now that I've seen Dak on two or three occasions miss open intermediate or short to intermediate crossers because he's trying to take a shot to like a corner or a post play deep. You know, and they have both turned out to be pretty negative plays for the Cowboys. So I would like to see Dak do a better job of hitting those underneath the defenders, especially when there's pressure. You're seeing him try to hold the ball a little bit when pressure, to try to let those guys get open deep when he should just get the ball out to his hot. I think on plays where he's surprised by pressure, he doesn't know to get the ball out quickly. When he knows there's pressure coming, he's good at hitting his hot read. But when this pressure is just kind of a surprise, he's kind of struggling on changing his focus from the deep shot to, I just need to get the ball out now. So that's one thing that I think he should improve. But besides that, like you said, I think he played pretty well. He made some incredible throws. I think he had a run of three throws in a row I think it was in the third or fourth quarter, where they were just dime after dime after dime, and that put in the Cowboys an opportunity to score and cut the lead. So he's not the problem what the Cowboys are doing. They're just shooting themselves in the foot, and there's a collective, too many collective people are making little issues, and it's becoming a really big issue collectively. So as long as the Cowboys can stop shooting themselves in the foot, I think you'll see Dak continue to play well, and it'll show itself more in the box score and in the end game score.
Yeah, and I think this is a good opportunity to go to the defense now.
Yeah.
Real quick, tight ends. Like, I don't want to see Darwin blocking line of scrimmage anymore.
Oh my!
That's too many, three or four different times in this game, right now. It's,
also, don't run Jason Witten on fades.
Yeah, well, fades. There's that too. I just think that, you know, that Jarwin is not a two-way tight end the way we everyone wanted him. Use him appropriately, or at least don't try to use him on the block line of scrimmage, a defensive end. You know, saying like this, it's just please stop doing that. You know, but yeah, let's talk about defense. My notes basically about the defensive line are that I think that for the most part they rush the passer well, but they were being held a lot, and good pass rushes weren't converting into sacks because they're being held at the last minute. They're not getting to them. Yeah. So I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I saw a lot of good rushes from several different people. I think the part that I'm very frustrated with was the interior defensive line and the run game. I don't know who said it first. It wasn't me. I think maybe it was Joey. I don't remember, but I agree with the idea, the sentiment that maybe we need to consider putting Woods back in there with Covington on early downs just to kind of stop some of the bleeding in the run game. What are your thoughts on the defensive line?
Yeah, just in terrible gap integrity from especially your under tackle against the Packers. Malik Collins was awful against the run. He was getting displaced out of his gap. He was not reading his key, so he was taking a vertical step instead of sliding down with the tackle against zone, so he was getting out of his gap there just by his first step. He was getting moved out of his place by double teams. You could tell then sometimes he'd read his keys late, so he'd kind of bail to try to get into his gap, and that would cause him just to easily get washed without even really getting touched. It was an irritating performance, especially from Malik Collins just against the run, because you know how good he can be, how effective he can be, how strong, powerful, quick he can be. And he still was effective as a pass rusher. He had, four pressures against the Packers, which is a good day. But he was just awful against the run, and that really put the Cowboys behind the eight ball. Tristan Hill was similarly struggling against the run. He would get reached, he'd get moved, he'd get vertically displaced, horizontally displaced. He just really, especially when they put him at nose tackle where he gets a lot of those immediate double teams, he really struggles. He just doesn't have that anchor to take on those double teams right now. He's more explosive playing linearly, and when you get those attacks from an angle, he just struggles to anchor, and that's just not going to happen. But one guy who I thought did play pretty well, actually two guys who I thought played pretty well, is one, Christian Covington. I thought he provided you some backfield disruption against the run, which is weird that he was the one guy that was able to win quick and get into the backfield on a semi-consistent basis against the Packers. And then I thought Tyron Crawford played pretty well in his first game back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he was one of the better run defenders on the Cowboys defensive line, and I think he's someone who should continue to get snaps there. And honestly, I would make Tristan Hill inactive. And like you said, playing Covington and Woods at the one technique positions on first down might be smart, especially because I think Malik Collins is best as a pass rush specialist. You know, I want to minimize his exposure to the run.
Crawford was the guy that had probably the most egregious hold against him on specifically that, that one play that you could see even on the broadcast. Like, that was the one that came out of the game as far as defensive hold. You know, that's the thing, is I think in the All-22 tape, that's when I started noticing all the offensive holding. But that one play, I think it's where he ended up they ended up throwing a screen to Jones or something, or but I think it was like a big play, mm-hmm. like a touchdown play, where Crawford got so blatantly held coming through the line. So yeah, it was just very frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, linebackers. This was one of Leighton Vander Esch's worst games.
Maybe
right?
his worst like, game.
I mean, just slipping and sliding, like overrunning, you know, getting just not finishing the tackles the way that he used to. You know, just it's just a struggle right now. Mm-hmm. And then even when he wasn't making poor plays, like. They were both being asked, both him and Jalen were being asked, and Sean Lee, I mean, geez, man. And even when they weren't having bad plays, they were at times being asked to cover two gaps because the defensive lineman's being pushed out of their gap and there's no gap integrity. Yep. It was not a great combo. It was just not a great mixture of bad play up in the middle and bad play up front. And they were feeding off each other in a negative way. What are your thoughts on the linebackers?
Yeah, you kind of hit on Leighton Vander Esch. I thought Jalen Smith was – he wasn't as bad as Leighton Vander Esch, but he wasn't very effective either. He was – the biggest issue with Jalen Smith through the first 5 weeks is that he'll fill his correct gap pre-snap, but he'll fill it with the wrong fit. So he'll fit the wrong kind of edge of the gap. And that – allows him, even though he's in his gap, he'll get peeled out of his gap or he'll be in poor position to make the tackle. And then also a thing you saw against the Packers is he's not making the defensive tackles right. So say pre-snap that Jalen Smith has the play side A gap and the under tackle has the play side B gap. Say the under tackle gets displaced post-snap into the A gap. Jalen Smith doesn't correct for the defensive tackle losing his gap integrity. And then go into the B gap. He still attacks the A gap. So that just leaves a giant void in that B gap that's been vacated. So he's making the defensive lineman look even worse by not making them right post snap. I really think his post snap processor has been off. You've been seeing the Cowboys have a ton of issues, not just against the Packers, this entire season against those jet sweep motion, those jet motion zone concepts. And that's because, the Cowboys linebackers, both Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, they're being manipulated. They're moving too much according to that jet motion, and that's allowing offensive linemen to climb to the second level and get blocks, and it's making it difficult for Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch to fill their gaps correctly. So there's just so many issues about this second level of the defense. And like you said, Sean Lee's having issues. I would just start Joe Thomas over Sean Lee now. I don't really see the point in playing Sean Lee 20 snaps a game if he's going to give you what he's been giving you lately. At least get Joe Thomas out there who can give you some more stuff against the pass. He's more athletic so he can get his head into more plays. And he's going to finish better. Sean Lee just hasn't been finishing even when he puts himself in position to make a play.
Yeah. I agree. It's time. I mean, just get him off the field. It's
unfortunate how quick he's fallen. It's been such a precipitous fall off for Sean Lee.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay, defensive backs, and we'll finish this out. I thought for the most
pretty good.
What? Yeah, I thought that for the most part they played well. Mm-hmm. I think that
what's Mickey's stat that like Packers only had like four receivers that had a reception or something or four.
That sounds right. I mean, you know, a lot of it was that they didn't have to be tested very much, you know. So, there was one play where Byron Jones, I think, struggled on a corner route that got a big play.
And he
outside,
even rallied, though. He even rallied on that play and almost got his hand in. It wasn't even like it was like a terrible, terrible coverage.
I will say that there was one play where I saw, I mean, just to kind of show you what a terrible game this was, there was a play where Heath and Byron Jones both got blocked by Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
At the same time. It was that same play that we were talking about that Hill got washed.
We should have known from that moment on that it just wasn't our day. Jimmy Graham.
It was just not our day, man. What? Like, if Jimmy Graham can block two people at the same time, man. I mean, maybe it's just not happening for us today. So. Yeah, I mean, I thought for the most part this wasn't a defensive backfield problem. I think this was a front seven problem for the defense. I don't know that they get a clean pass completely, but I just don't think that they got tested enough to really be complaining about them very much. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. So.
Yeah, totally agree. I thought Xavier Woods was put in some tough one-on-one tackling positions, but we know that his ability to tackle and be in support of the run is probably where he's weakest at this point. But in terms of coverage, I thought he was fine. I thought Byron Jones was really good in coverage most of the game.
Defensive pass interference against Brown.
Bah.
Like, that's when I actually turned the game off, like, live, because I can't watch this anymore. But I went back after I was ready to watch it, and I went back and watched that play specifically. I'm still upset about it. Like, I can't believe it, man. Like, the receiver initiates contact. The receiver basically pulls a Top Gun and, like, puts on the brakes and then initiates contact with his hand. As Brown's got both his hands up in the air, the ball hits Brown, like,
in the back.
Midway in his butt. Like, it's so behind and short-throwed that it doesn't even make it to... It wouldn't have even made it to the receiver's hands. Like, it would have fallen at his feet.
Terrible.
Basically. And they still ended up calling it. It was just absolute, you know, horse
garbage.
I thought the defensive backfield for the most part played as well as you can expect. It wasn't so much their issue.
I will say Jeff Heath struggled. Jeff Heath, he had two pretty good games, and then he struggled, especially in his coverage of receivers or running backs out of the backfield, tight ends, and the short to intermediate player. It wasn't as good a performance as he had put forward in the two previous games.
Yeah, for sure. You know, overall, it's just the Cowboys have got to pull it together, find a way to execute and not shoot themselves in the foot. I don't really know what to say about the refereeing stuff because I don't know how to avoid that. And that's something that's frustrating on a meta level with the NFL right now, that, like, I have questions of fairness in the NFL, and it's really... that really pisses me off because it goes to the core of why I watch, you know? So, outside of that, the Cowboys, I mean, clearly they didn't execute at their best either. That's a portion of it as well. You can't just wave a hand away at the penalties and say that's all of it. They need to definitely play better and stop shooting themselves in the foot, stop turning the ball over, and find a way to get the ball in the end zone early so that they can give their defense better opportunities to not have to face two-dimensional offenses.
Landon, I got just the remedy for him.
What's that?
It's called the New York Jets.
Yeah. Well, hopefully so. We'll see, I guess, coming up this Sunday. Guys, that's it for us this week. Again, apologies for the another one podcast this week. We'll get back into the swing of things once we are undrowning in work, each of us individually. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at McCoolBCB. John is at John Owning. Together we are at Best Coast Boys with a Z at the end. Special thanks, as always, to Mike Fisher. Make sure you follow him at Fish Sports. Catch us all on Cowboys Maven. That's mavensports.io/Cowboys. You can also catch us on all your favorite podcast apps on iOS, iPhone, and Google Play, Android. Please rate and review us. Leave 5 stars. Don't be a hater. And until next time, happy trails, everybody.